I want to talk to you this morning about the significance of small victories. The significance of small victories. Okay? We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And I encourage you to turn there, but before we even get started, we need to pray and set this time aside for the Lord. Father, we love you, and God, I thank you that there's a God in heaven who is completely in control of everything and who is greater than anything on this earth. And God, we worship you. And God, I thank you that you are not silent, you're not distant, you're not aloof, you're not checked out, but that you're fully engaged in every facet of life. And God, I thank you that we have your word, and Lord, that we can know something about you today. Jesus, I just ask in your name that you would set this time apart for you and that you would speak. And God, I have nothing to say. I don't bring anything here, but God, you do. So Father, speak through me. And Father, help us to hear this, and not just in our ears, but in our minds and in our hearts. And God, change us, Lord, transform us, that we become more and more and more and more like you, Jesus. And God, that the whole world would be blessed because of what you're doing. We love you, Jesus. All glory is yours. Amen. Amen. The significance of small victories. Before I jump in and read this, I think we sometimes think that little things are little things and big things are big things, right? The little things don't matter. It's the big things that matter. The little things can just whatever. They're not important. What I want to tell you this morning is that, spiritually speaking, the little things are huge. The little things are huge. And the little victories are almost just as important as the big victories. And what I want to tell you this morning is that if we don't experience and live in victory in the little things, we'll never taste victory for the big things. It starts with the little things, the little victories. So 1 Samuel 14, this is kind of jumping in the story. So King Saul's kind of king over Israel. He's not a good king. He has a son named Jonathan, and we're going to jump into this story. So 1 Samuel chapter 14 says this. One day, just one day, one random day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah in the pomegranate cave at Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men, including Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Within the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a rocky crag on the other side and a rocky crag on the other side. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sekinah. The one crag rose on the north front of the Mishmash, and the other on the south front of Geba. By the way, I might not be pronouncing all these correctly. Okay. Jonathan said to the young man who carried the armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that's in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you in heart and soul." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we'll cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and we'll not go to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we'll go up, for the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be the sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistine says, look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves. And the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and the armor bearer and said, come up to us and we'll show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and the armor bearer killed them after him. And that first strike with Jonathan and his armor bearer made killed about 20 men within, as it were, half a furlough's length in an acre of land. And there was panic in the camp, in the field, and among the people. And the garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked, and it became a very great panic. And if you read down, it says, so the Lord saved Israel that day. Have you ever heard that story before? There's so many nuggets in here that you just kind of, but there is so much truth packed into that little story. So you need to know the backdrop a little bit. Like I mentioned, Saul is king. And Saul was a man who was set apart from God, called by God, given everything he needed. He was anointed. He had the Holy Spirit in him. He was called. He was given everything he needed. But he could not obey God. Like, he couldn't receive all that. And what it did was it eventually hardened his heart. If you were here a few weeks ago, we talked about that. The importance of, like, embracing your call is saying yes to the things that God has said that he's going to do in you. Because if you say no to God long enough, that your heart will become hard. And that's what happened to Saul. His heart became more and more hard. And he could not walk in the victory of the Lord. So his task was to defeat the enemies of God. And at that time, there was a group of people called the Philistines. They were the ones who were oppressing the people of God. So Saul is actually in battle against the Philistines. And do you know what? He is unable to experience any victory. He himself is afraid, and the people he's leading are afraid. They're just shaking because the Philistines are great and mighty. And even though God said, do you know what? I'm going to defeat the Philistines through you. He couldn't receive it because all he saw was with his eyes, and he saw there's too many. And he was afraid. He was defeated. He was discouraged. And do you know what? The whole people were defeated and discouraged and afraid. You know, the scripture says again and again that we don't fix our eyes on what we see. We don't look at this. It might look one thing here, but we fix our eyes on what is unseen. We look to what is eternal. That is what is true, and that was what's real. But Saul is like, he's just looking, and he's afraid, and the whole army is afraid. And they're paralyzed. Fear paralyzes people. You know, it makes you completely ineffective. So Saul's just sitting there. He sees this massive army that they're supposed to fight, and there's more of them, less people here. Like, I have no idea, even though God has spoken, even though the promise of God was there. And he was absolutely paralyzed. You know what? We obey the one we're afraid of, don't we? There's no battle happening, but guess who was obeying the Philistines? Saul was. He was afraid of them, and he was obeying them because he was afraid of them. They owned him. And you know what? It's interesting because if you play this story out with Saul, we see this again. David and Goliath, that famous story where Goliath, the champion of the people of Philistines from Gath, this huge giant shows up. And you know what? Saul's afraid. He's like, I don't know what we're going to do. And that's when little David shows up and owns the day, you know? But Saul's in that same place where he's afraid. Why? Because it's like, that giant's huge. And beloved, I'm talking about stories that happened, like these were events that happened. But spiritually, these are real things that we face spiritually, these mountains in front of us, these armies in front of us that we have to battle against. Whatever that is, whatever that thing in your life that looks huge, that we're afraid of, that we get discouraged by, whatever that thing is in your life, these are the things we're called to fight for in the Lord. See, our battle isn't against flesh and blood. We're not talking about people. We're not talking about real battle. Our battle is spiritual, okay? It's for spiritual things. So when I talk about fighting fear, the question I want you to ask is, what battles are you fighting right now? What things are you afraid of? What things are you discouraged about that you know that you have to fight, you have to come against, and they're big, and they seem bigger than you are? See, Saul saw this army, and he was defeated. He was discouraged, and everyone who followed him was discouraged as well. Beloved, one thing I want you to know is that I don't care if you think you're a leader or not, there's people watching you and there's people in your wake. There's people who are affected by your life. And when you are plagued by fear, do you know what? Those behind you are as well. Those behind you are as well. So that's the backdrop. They're in battle, and Saul, the fearless leader, is shaking in his boots. But it says, one day, this guy named Jonathan, who is the son of Saul, think about that. He's the son of Saul, rose up, I don't know, maybe it was Sunday, wakes up, and he's like, today's going to be a different day. I'm sick of sitting here. Are we not God's army? Are we not God's people? Has God not promised us victory? I don't know if he just woke up and all of a sudden the birds were chirping. He's like, no more. And I was just fascinated by this. One day, Jonathan woke up and decided today was going to be a different day. Beloved, may today be that day, right? May today be that day where one day you woke up and be like, no more. I'm going to walk differently today. No more. I'm going to claim what's mine in Jesus, and I'm going to walk this out. And it says that he woke up and that he brought his armor bearer and that he went out and he was going to take on the army. He was going to take it all on. And it says that Saul didn't know. That was on purpose, right? You know it was on purpose. Why not? Because Saul's afraid. Saul's going to be like, are you kidding me? You're going to kill yourself. You know, like, he's afraid. So Jonathan wakes up, has faith, believes God, and is like, we're going to do something about this. So he doesn't tell Saul. Do you know what? No one knows he's gone. If you read the story, there's the defeat happens. Like, God does this marvelous victory, and they're like, who's missing? You know, something happened, but who did it? No one knew who did it because no one knew. And beloved, one thing you need to know is that this was a secret battle. No one knew. This was a battle that happened behind the scenes. And what I can tell you about this is, you know, I was talking about these small victories that you think aren't a big deal. It's the big things that matter. It's like the public things. It's the things that are visible that everyone can see. Those are the battles that matter. No, it's the little ones that are insignificant that we need to walk and believe God for today. So what are those? The secret battles that just you see. See, Jonathan woke up like, no more. I can't fight the whole army, but I can fight for 20. And those are going down, right? Yeah. Those are going down. And I'm going to fight the small victory. The small battle, and believe God for it. Amen. You know why he didn't tell his father? Because he was sitting down. He is in a battle and he is sitting down. Can I be honest with you? I'm going to talk about the whole church. We are in a battle. We live in the United States. We know who God is. This nation knows who God is. It's not like we're in North Korea or something like that. But there is a real battle going down. You know that? I know that. It's for the hearts and minds of people. It is for your heart and your mind. It is for salvation. And we are the people of God. And our battle is for the hearts and minds of men and women. Because that's what his heart is. That's where the battle is. It's for people. You know, like we're not fighting people. We're fighting for people. That's where the battle is. So that's why these small battles that we face are really a big deal. Because we are in a battle. And beloved, we're not just Christians. We're warriors. That's what we're called to be. We are ushered into the battle, the great epic battle, the spiritual battle that's for all the ages, that will have been, if, that has been won, but will be fully realized at the end. And do you know what? Some people are just sitting, right? Like Saul, just sitting. That's why Jonathan woke up and didn't tell him. It's like, I'm not with that anymore. I'm going to do something. Because we're in a battle. It's not like he's doing something weird. They're in a battle, right? They're in a battle. It's not like he's doing something completely different, one-off. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. He's a warrior. He's a soldier, and he's just doing what he's supposed to do. So, beloved, if you are in Christ, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus and believed him for the forgiveness of your sins and received that gift of life, you have been saved, you've been rescued, you've been given life, and you've been called according to his purpose. And do you know what God cares about? Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, California, the U.S., our world. He cares about people. And do you know what? Jesus left and said, now go make this. It's now you. Like the battle I've been fighting, I now commission you to go. That great army, the church. So, beloved, don't be like Saul and sit down. Because we're at war. Be like Jonathan and one day wake up and say, no more. No more. I'm going to fight. So we're talking about salvation here, but we're also talking about these areas in our lives that we feel like we're battling. You know, we're fighting things all the time. So Jonathan didn't tell his father because his father was sitting down. Everyone was sitting. There were a nation sitting. There were a nation at war sitting down. But then verse 6, I love this. Hold on, wrong chapter. Verse 6 says this. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Maybe God will show up. Maybe God will show up. If we fight, maybe God will show up. For nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. Isn't that good? You know what? God could raise up 10 million warriors here, 10 million soldiers, and we could wipe them out. Or he could raise up two. You and me, are you in? Yeah, why not? Because God can use many, he can use a few. Beloved, look at our huge church. God can use many or he can use a few. God can do anything, right? God can do that. You know what I love is you play that story out, and we talked about David and Goliath. God could have raised up a giant even bigger than Goliath. Oh, Goliath, look at this giant. You know, like God could have raised up a bigger giant, right? And squash Goliath because I'm bigger, like God can make bigger things. What did he choose? The foolish things, the things that are nothing. He chose David, who was a teenager, wasn't even in the army. But he had faith. He believed God. And do you know who conquered Goliath? Little David. Because God can use the many, he can use a few. What is it to God? It's his war. It's his battle. The scripture says the battle belongs to the Lord. So he can use the many, he can use a few. So you know what? Let's fight. Jonathan's like, let's go. Armor bearer, you with me? Armor bearer doesn't even have a name. He's just armor bearer. You know, I was thinking about this passage in scripture in James 2. It was written by a guy named Paul. And he says, faith without deeds is dead. Faith without deeds is dead. And I always used to think that was good deeds. You know, if I have faith, I'm going to do good things. But I was thinking, I was like, he's talking about so much more here. Because faith acts. Faith doesn't sit down. Faith just doesn't have lofty ideas about who God is. Faith acts. And faith fights when there's a battle. So Paul is saying, you think you... Actually, I'm gonna turn here. Let's go here. This is James chapter 2. It's right in the New Testament after Hebrews. James chapter 2, verse 14. Says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have work? So it's kind of like this. What good is it if you have faith? And think about the army. God is God. He can do anything. He can defeat the enemies. What good is it to have faith in that but not have any works, like not put that into practice? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the thing that's needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, is, if it is not works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Do you hear that? Do you know how I'm going to show I believe God is powerful and is mighty and is greater than my enemies? I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to do it. Amen? Amen? Beloved, I call you to faith. To not just intellectually know that God is good and bigger than those battles you're facing. Call you to action. Just like Jonathan. God is for us, who can be against us? So we walk in it. Henry Blackaby, who's an author, says this: you can't go with God and stay where you are. Whoa. I might say that again. You can't go with God and stay where you are. Amen. He's going to call you forward. That's why to be a Christian ain't boring. You see that? Mm-hmm. If you're bored, it's because you're sitting down in Saul's army. You know? We're followers of Jesus in the greatest battle of the ages. Like, this is awesome. He's given us life to the full. So do you know what God is looking for? Not for you to get all your ducks in a row and not for you to, you know, train and get everything ready so that then you... He's just asking you to show up and believe him. Just say yes. He's asking you to say yes by your foot moving forward. I've talked to so many people who know what God wants them to do, But they're waiting for that one and then that one and then that one to play out, and then they'll take the first step. And God's saying, like, no, what I'm asking from you is to step into it. Just like Jonathan, he just stepped into it. Okay, here's some people. We're going to step into this and believe God for this, this small battle. Let's ask God for a small victory in this small battle. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him." Isn't that good? The eyes of the Lord are searching for people to give strong support to them, those who are fully given to God. God's looking for people who say yes and just walk in it. Amen? He's looking for people. You don't have to be special. You aren't special. I don't care what people say you are, whether it's good or bad. It don't matter. He's just looking for people who are fully given to him. Each one of you. Do you see that? It's not like there's special Christians and normal Christians. Like, you are a child of God. You can know him fully. And God can use you mightily. Amen. Praise Jesus. Because he's looking for people. He's looking for people. So the big thing is, are you going to have faith and say yes? So then Jonathan, saying yes to God, shows up and he's like, okay, him and his armor bearer, no name armor bearer. Okay, let's show up, let's go up there. And if they, you know, say, we'll go over there, this isn't of God. But if they taunt us and say, come over here, well, then God's going to give us this victory. So they show up, Do you see that? They show up. They present themselves to the enemy. It's too late right now, right? They show themselves to the enemy, and the enemy is taunting them. Beloved, you need to know this. Like, those voices in your head are the voice of the enemy. And as soon as you decide to say yes to the Lord and step in faith, you're going to hear that voice. And it's going to tell you, who do you think you are? You don't stand a chance. You're defeated before we even get started. The scripture says that our enemy is a liar. But this is a battle in our mind. And beloved, this is more real than flesh and blood. Like, if you're able to recognize it, you know that's true. That the liar is so powerful. That voice is so strong. The enemy just starts taunting, who do you think you are? Victory seems impossible. Who do you think you are? You know what? This is the story of God's people throughout all of history, is that we are up against impossible odds, and that enemy is really loud, and it seems like they're right. And do you know what? They are in the natural world. But beloved, we're not of that. We are not of this world. We're God's people. I could read for days in the Bible this story playing out. And do you know what? In history as well. In my own life as well. You know, like where it's just like this, whatever that is in front of you is like, it's too much. It's impossible. There's no way, but to believe God, and you know what? God gets the victory. This is pretty scary to say, but does God ever lose in the Bible? Is there ever a time where in faith you believe God and walk with him? Is there ever a time where God fails? I don't think so. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amazing. That's why the enemy is going to say, he's going to want you to stop before you start. Get you afraid. So they fight. They fight this in this little half acre, which isn't very, very big. And it certainly doesn't represent the whole army. It's just this half acre of land, and they defeat about 20 people. So 10 to 10, which is, it's a good day, kill 10 people, you know? Okay, that's weird to say, but they're in a battle, okay? They're in a battle. All right. Which is awesome, okay? Let's just say that small victory is awesome. Yes, bless the Lord. Thank you for the small victory. But beloved, like, here's the spiritual truth, because we know you're saying the small victories have huge ripple effects. Because if you read the word and you play this out, yes, they did that. But you read verse 15, and it says, and there was panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The whole army of the enemy began to shake, and the garrison and even the raiders trembled. Why? Because Jonathan and his no-name armor bearer showed up with faith, believing God, and won a small victory. And then it said the earth quaked, and it became a very great panic. Isn't that awesome? Beloved, here's the spiritual truth. The small things in your life, the small battles that don't seem very important, are extremely important. Why? Because this is where faith is realized. In the small battles, where we say yes to God and we step in, when we believe that God can do this. And you know what? It looks like this, but we know that it's going to have eternal ripples. And all of hell quakes. Do you see that? Like, the whole enemy panics. Why? Because finally someone believes God. Finally someone believes God. Finally someone actually reads this book, not just to quote verses, but to believe the God who this is about, and who just says, okay, I believe you, and walk in it. And all of hell quakes, everyone trembles, and the earth itself shakes. That's awesome. Even the ground itself acknowledges that Jonathan is no-name armor bearer, believe God. And they just sent them into a tizzy, and there was a great victory that day because of that little battle that Jonathan and his armor bearer fought. There's nothing small in the kingdom of God, right? There's nothing too small in the kingdom of God. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, one thing that's beautiful about this is because Jonathan and the armor bearer won a small victory, the people of God experienced a great victory. Do you see that? That secret battle that no one knew was happening. If you read the story, you'll see that they're actually looking at the army. They don't even see the battle. They're looking at the army, and they're like, they're freaking out. There's mad chaos going on. And they're like, I don't know what's happening, but something's happening. Something amazing, something supernatural is happening. And they're experiencing the blessing of victory because of the secret battle that Jonathan and his armor bearer fought. So, beloved, I'm telling you, like, those small battles that you're facing, they're like, yeah, it's not a big deal, because it's not a big deal. They are so important. And, beloved, they're important for us. I need you to win your small battle. Just as you need me to win my small battle. Amen? Amen? Right? Not theoretically good for you. I'm glad you believe God could do anything. But can he? Then let's live it. Amen? So the battles we fight, we're going to feel discouragement, we're going to feel doubt, we're going to doubt, fear, all these things, they've been won. We've been given victory in Christ. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now here's the deal. you know, and we, as we look in life and we talk about victory, it's not like life all of a sudden becomes sunshine every day. What the victory I'm talking about is that Jesus is victory in it, not around it, in it. Sometimes we think, God, change the circumstance, but the answer of God, the victory of God is, I'm going to change you, right? And you're going to walk through this valley of the shadow of death, full of faith, perfect peace, courageous. You're going to walk out the other side victorious, right? So, beloved, sometimes we're looking here and he wants to change here. Here's where the first victory is. Before we see anything out here, here's where the first victory is, right? Right? There's no need to live in fear. There's no need to live in discouragement. God has given us victory through it. But that we would be a people of faith, that we would be a people who pray and believe God, that we would be people of the Word of God. Do you know where faith comes? through the Word of God. So if you want faith, you can't will it. I'm going to have faith today. No, there's a price to pay. There's a seeking of the Lord. You see, he's the author. He's the perfecter of faith. He's the giver of faith. Faith isn't something you muster up one day. Wake up on the right side of the bed and you're like, I'm going to be full of faith today. No, there's a walk of faith, right? So, beloved, I call you to be a people of faith that fight all day long, big battles, small battles, that we're fighters. The little things, the big things, doesn't matter. Amen? Amen. This week, I thought I was sharing something, but it wasn't very encouraging. sometimes preaching's encouraging. Sometimes it's more correcting, sometimes it's, like it does different things. Sometimes it elevates, whatever, the Word of God is useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And I was asking God, we need to be encouraged. So God, I'm asking for an encouraging word. And he showed me this. And beloved, if you're not encouraged by this, I know what your little battle is. Miguel, why don't you come up? We're going to close in worship. And you need to know, beloved, that the Word of God always calls forth a response. Not because I'm good at speaking, but because this is the Word of God. I don't know how you're doing. I don't know if you're weary in the battle. I don't know if you can relate more with Saul and that army, or maybe you were late with Jonathan's armor bearer. I don't know. But beloved, I'm asking that you'd be encouraged, meaning that you would be full of courage to walk in faith in whatever battle that you have in front of you. Whatever that secret battle is that maybe no one knows about, but you know is there. Right? One last verse. In 2 Timothy, it says, in the last days, it says that there's going to be people who have a form of godliness but deny its power. They're going to have an idea of God. They're going to believe God's great and God's one and whatever else. But they're going to deny its power. They're going to think it but say no to the actual power to do it. And beloved, we're not those people. We're not those people. The power of God is yours in Christ. The victory of Jesus that we celebrated last week, when Jesus said, it's finished. That victory is your victory. Amen. Beloved, we are victorious in Christ. So we're going to just close and worship, and maybe you need to pray, and maybe you need to admit what the battle is. Maybe you've never even done that. I don't know. But I call that forward, and Pam and I are going to be in the back. If you want to pray about your battle, we would love to pray for you. Final thought, Jonathan had an armor bearer. And maybe you feel like Jonathan, but you're like, I need an armor bearer. I need someone to walk with me. I can't do this by myself. Let's pray for you. Let's be your armor bearer, okay? So let's respond in worship. And if you want to pray for the battle, we would love to pray for you. Amen.